This is our text. Dear Christian friends, there are several observances coinciding on this weekend, reminding us not to make negative assumptions about people. Our national Martin Luther King Jr. holiday is a reminder not to prejudge other people, what they deserve or what they are able to do because of their race or their color. Life Sunday is a reminder not to discount or devalue what one might do in life or the life that they deserve because of physical condition or disability. History is full of accounts of the accomplishments of those who in infancy or childhood might have seemed so disadvantaged or so damaged in their situation or by personal defects that they would never amount to anything. And yet they accomplished great things. Well, today's text also is a reminder not to assume low expectations of others, but also not to assume them of ourselves, which actually exposes low expectations of what God Himself can do. If we look at our text, we see how Philip shows what comes of Jesus' calling. We see how Nathanael doubts any good coming from lowliness, but we see how Jesus shows what good comes to us from heaven. Let's look first about how Philip shows what comes from Jesus' calling of us. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now, when you read this, it can look like Jesus just walks up to this guy named Philip and says, "Follow me," and just out of the blue, he follows him. Would you expect somebody to do that? Well, maybe not. But John here in our text is hinting that there's actually more going on behind the scenes than is apparent on the surface. You see, in the verses just before this, in John chapter 1, he's been telling about John the Baptist, who was pointing to Jesus, saying, "He's going to be great, I'm going to decrease." Well, one of John the Baptist's disciples is Andrew. And so Andrew does follow Jesus. But Andrew also goes and gets his brother, who's named Simon, and he does too. Jesus seems to already know about Simon as well. And he gives him a new name right off the bat. He says, "I'm going to call you Peter," which means rock. Now, our text here is telling us that Philip is from the same town as Andrew and Peter. Well, if Andrew told Peter about Jesus, do you suppose maybe Philip has heard something from them about Jesus as well? Now, this is one of very few references in the Bible to Philip. Another is a time that some Greek people came to him and said, "We'd like to meet Jesus." Philip's got a Greek name. Maybe that's why they came to him. But first, he goes off and he finds Andrew. And together, they take the others to Jesus. Okay, so there's a pattern here. One of them is it looks like Philip maybe is one of those people who's so unsure of himself that, or either that or so social, that he can't do anything by himself. He has to go get somebody else to come along with him. Maybe you wouldn't expect somebody like this to become a great leader in the church. Jesus does. Another side of this pattern that shows that he is indeed a leader is how from the very beginning, he, like Andrew, began leading others to Jesus. He tells Nathanael, "We found Jesus." Well, of course, it's actually Jesus who found him, and it's always the same true of us. So when Jesus says, "Follow me," he goes for Nathanael. Well, actually, in doing that, he is following Jesus. He's following Jesus' example of going and finding and calling. Throughout this Epiphany season, especially, we are reminded that this is part of being Jesus' disciples for us too. Following Jesus includes inviting others to come along. I've heard that there are some families who still haven't had Christmas. What they mean by that is they haven't gotten together and opened the presents to reveal what everyone got. Well, the real gift of Christmas is Jesus. But there are many who still have not had Christmas. That is, they have not had revealed to them what God has given them in Jesus. We need to be part of doing that. Now, we may hesitate to follow in Jesus in this way because we're unsure of what good's going to come of that. Low expectations of ourselves or of others. What good does it do to share Jesus' word with people who probably have heard before? But as Jesus' own words, "Follow me," cause it to happen. The gift of faith comes from Jesus himself and his own words. And so we do share Jesus' words. And then we see what happens then when Nathanael doubts good coming from lowliness. Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael's initial sour reply could indicate he's just a grouch. Well, Jesus puts it positively. In him there is no deceit. That is, he doesn't try to hide anything. He just blurts out whatever he's thinking. I can relate to that. But maybe, as with Philip, there's more to this story. He's from Cana in Galilee. John tells us that later in his gospel. Cana is just over the ridge from Nazareth. Maybe there is this perennial arch rivalry between Cana and Nazareth. Who's going to come from Nazareth? Or maybe they was close enough he knew, you know, that really is a second-rate place. Or maybe he's left Cana, he's not there anymore, because he himself thinks, you know, there's not much good in any of those little hick towns up there in Galilee. Have you ever seen one of those super magnified pictures? And the idea is to guess, what is this a picture of? Well, sometimes it's very hard, because when you're up close, sometimes it's hard to see things clearly. Maybe that was Nathanael's problem. He was from right close to where Jesus was, and like the people in his own hometown, didn't expect much of him. Or maybe Nathanael had low expectations because he's been disappointed before. Why do you suppose Philip would seek out Nathanael to tell him about Jesus? I think it's no accident. Maybe he knows Nathanael is going to be interested in the Messiah. Jesus describes Nathanael as sitting under a fig tree. The prophet Micah in the Old Testament says that when God comes to save his people, everyone will sit under his own fig tree. Sitting under a fig tree has become a Jewish expression for somebody, it's a slang for sitting and reading the Bible, studying God's prophecies, expecting that God will bring it about. Nathanael may have been one who's been studying the prophecies of the Messiah. Maybe under that fig tree, he has at least once asked God, "God, show me the truth. Reveal this Messiah to me." But maybe he's been disappointed. He was from Cana. Now, being from Cana is also Jewish slang for being a zealot. That is, one who is fighting against the Roman occupation. Because they thought that is how God's messianic kingdom is going to come. Nathanael may once have been one of those terrorist zealots fighting a losing battle. And may have become disillusioned with this whole messianic idea altogether. But notice Philip's approach to his friend. He does not argue with him. He doesn't get defensive or offended with his rude reply. But he simply says, "Come and see. Come along with me and let Jesus himself show you and reveal himself through his word." There are those today who may reject what God offers him because of low expectations. What good can come of one who's born with disabilities or in one who becomes severely injured or disabled? What good can come from an unintended pregnancy or one that is going to be a burden to whoever has to care for the child, or one that may end up being disabled? What good can come from a terminal disease? What good can come from one whose mind is gone before their body? In situations like these, people say, what good is it for these to live? When one is in the middle of a situation like this, it is possible to be so close to it that it is hard to see how to make any sense out of it, how any good can come out of it. Or one could have such a low opinion of where oneself is coming from, or where somebody else is coming from, that we don't expect much good of another person. Or maybe there are some who have had high hopes and expectations and put in great effort only to be disappointed and disillusioned with life. These kind of things can cause someone to have low expectations. What can we say to someone like this? One thing we can say is, come and see. It can make a big difference to those considering abortion to see an ultrasound and see that this is a baby, not just a blob. It can make a difference to see the joy and the love of those who may have mental disabilities and the joy in life. It make a difference to see the accomplishments of those even who they have handicaps, to see the life that is still precious even to those who suffer. Come and see. Come and meet Jesus, who knows all of those things and who sees all of those things, and who said to Nathaniel, I saw you and I heard you before you realized it. When you were asking God to show you the truth, when you were disappointed with your own efforts, I saw that. Come and meet Jesus, who knew you and who knew each one even before we were born and had good plans for us. Jesus, who knows our difficulties and the sufferings that we experience before they happen, and knows how to help us. Jesus, who knows what we are like, including all of our faults, and still calls us to follow him because he knows how he's going to use us. And so Jesus shows what good comes from heaven. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Philip sees Jesus as a man from Nazareth, son of Joseph. And yet he recognizes him as the one written about in the laws of Moses and the prophets, the one who fulfills all the commandments that we fail to keep, the one who fulfills all the promises of one who will heal and who will help and who will rescue us from our enemies. Then, when Jesus reveals his amazing knowledge of Nathanael, Nathanael realizes he is more than just a man who can do all that. He is the Son of God himself, the ruler of God's people, who has come to us in person. He is the King of Israel, who will free us from all of our enemies, not by our own struggles and fighting, but by fighting for us and winning the victory for us. He's the one who fights with more than just human power against the devil and against death itself. Jesus says, we're going to see even more than that. Not only is he God who has indeed come to help us and to be with us and to help us in our struggling and in all of our suffering here, but he opens up heaven for us. He is the Son of Man that Daniel saw, who presided over the final judgment and welcomes people into eternal life. He is the portal to heaven that Jacob saw when the angels were ascending and descending to him. Philip and Nathanael would indeed see greater things. They would see Jesus dying on the cross. And once again, they would be disappointed. And they would wonder, what good can come from this? Until Jesus rises again and shows that it is through the suffering that he defeats death and sin and the devil. They went on to see Jesus ascend into heaven, welcomed by the holy angels. And again, they may have felt disappointed and all alone and abandoned until the angels came back to say, he's coming back to take you to be with him there. We too are now invited to follow Jesus, and also to bring others to come and see how he reveals himself to us in the wisdom of the Word. We may wonder, what good can come from that word? This is what comes. We too are invited to receive him who comes to us in Holy Communion. Some may wonder, what good can come from eating bread and drinking wine? God comes to us in that. We may wonder, how can anything good come out of the sufferings and the struggles in my life? But we see how he continues to bring good. He continues to give life. He continues to preserve life. It's all precious to him. So that each one of us can be brought to faith. This is why life is so important. Because it is life not just for this world, but for life everlasting. Because he's going to open up heaven for us also and take us there, finally, free from all disability and difficulties and suffering. This is why he calls us, and this is what he calls us to. Philip shows what comes from Jesus' calling. His calling invites us to follow him in a way that includes going to others, to invite them to come and see, even when it may seem to us no good will come of it. We see how Nathanael doubts good coming from lowliness. How a Messiah can come from lowly Nazareth. How good can come even after discouragements and disappointments. Just as we are invited to see how God brings good even out of troubles and suffering in our lives. Because Jesus shows what good comes from heaven itself. He has come down to fulfill everything in which we fail, to forgive and take away all of our faults. And by his suffering and his death to open up heaven so that we have not just valuable life here, but priceless life there as well. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.